Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch. So joining us here at the New York Stock Exchange is Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street. I have no idea why they call you Einstein.
I don't either. I have no idea either. Maybe.
The truth is you're 40 years here on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
Yes. You know what? March 26th, so I celebrated 40 years. When I got here, I was 4 years old. I was a child prodigy trader, and I've been here ever since.
It's so great to see you every time we're here, Peter.
It's always a pleasure.
I don't want to talk so much about the past. We want to concentrate on the future. Okay. But we just recently had, you call it mini crash here on Wall Street and worldwide. The reason are tariffs and uncertainty in politics and a new presidency and administration. When we see all this uncertainty, how can we go into the future?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I don't have a clear answer. You know, I think that we are at the crossroads now where something has to happen that gives us more information about what's going on. The uncertainty has not changed since the Liberation Day, which was the day that we were supposed to get clarity around what countries were going to be in tariffs and what the cost was and who would benefit and who would suffer. We don't know any more than we did really then, except a lot of, you know, we are being dangled, in front of us that, oh, we have a deal or we don't have a deal. Who's the deal with? Well, we can't really tell you. And so that doesn't give anybody any kind of sense of security. And look, it's all about confidence, right? People invest in the market because they have a confidence in either the nation or in a particular company or a particular stock, right? And so right now, I think people are a little bit skittish. Yes, the market is rebounding off the low lows, right? I think that's just people are bottom feeding. You know, people are trying to, you know, in the thought that we were not going to have a deal and the possibility of a massive recession is so unfathomable for the basic investment community that America would now, after having such a great couple of years to go into recession, is keeping people from selling the market off and more a chance to buy with the idea of hope. But, you know, what we're seeing is, as I said, Ken Griffin, the head of Citadel, right, one of the largest hedge funds in the world and market makers here on the floor of the exchange, and a Trump supporter and a Trump, someone who's given money to the re-election campaign, I believe, has talked about the fact that brand America, by America, has been tarnished by this lack of confidence globally about the fact that we are trying to bully leaders globally. It's just not the way I like to do business. I don't understand the approach, right? I mean, everyone has their own way of doing business. But, you know, I'm hoping that something changes in the next coming days. I mean, we are literally at the crossroads where something in the next couple of days has to change radically as far as deals being made and uncertainty being calmed and information being shared with us about, you know, who's getting who's tariff here, how much is it going to cost, so that we don't interrupt the supply chain globally, because we're all affected. Our economies are so interconnected at this point. You know, you guys in Germany, you guys in Europe, and the U.S., you know, for the goods that we buy, the companies that, you know, we invest in. I mean, it's we need information. We need clarity.
You were here on 9/11, you were here on the great financial crisis through COVID, and I never saw you pessimistic. You're always optimistic. Yeah. For us investors, why should we be optimistic always for the future of our personal life and also for the stock market?
So look, I'm a positive guy. I'm always the cup is half full person. I've had a lot of, you know, I've had an amazing life, right? I've had a life of privilege and unconditional love, but I've also had this at the same time had a lot of, you know, bumps in the road along the way, you know, whether it was, you know, in my career on Wall Street. I mean, I struggled during the financial crisis like most people did here, you know, we're trying to make some money. I've had some physical things. I got very sick during COVID, which has really affected my life in a big way. It was just, you know, I got sick. I was patient zero. I got sick on March 15th, 2020. So my life has changed since then. I've unfortunately lost my wife. I lost my brother. So I've had, you know, to cancer. So I've had lots of, you know, different difficulties along the way. But I'm my makeup, you know, my parents are Holocaust survivors. I was brought up with a survival instinct. And to know that, you know, that if you get up every day and you keep a positive outlook, that things, you can manifest good things. So that's my basic nature. You know, I don't think I've ever been as pessimistic optimistic as I have been now, because I'm just confused by, you know, not only the way things are being handled, but by the interpersonal relations that are going on. That's not the way I deal with people. I'm a people person. I'm a humanist. So, you know, that sort of bully approach does not really work for me. And so, you know, I'm a bit baffled. Why should someone be positive now? Is that historically, right, each one of the crashes we've seen, I don't use the word lightly, you know, the crash of 29, probably during World War II, there were some times of difficulty, you know, the crash of 87, I was here for that, the bubble of 2000, the internet bubble, obviously the financial crisis of 07, and then COVID, right, and then recently this mini crash. And so each one of them, you know, each one of the crashes had components that made them similar and different, right? All of them, my memory, all of the crashes, before they happened, we were trading at record highs. And I don't think that was why we crashed. That was just one of the components. But each one of them had a different story behind it. Obviously, the crash of COVID was a health crisis globally. The financial crisis was a predatory lending crisis. The internet bubble was one of, you know, just was a bubble. And so, you know, we've made it through all of those. We've seen most of these movies live themselves out. And we know that markets come back from all of these. And as I said, markets can handle pretty much anything except uncertainty. So my hope is that the minute we get some clarity, that this will turn around. And, you know, even though we've seen, if you look at the chart of the S&P 500 for the last as many years as it existed, you know, we've seen dips along the way, but each one of them was rebuffed by a much grander rally. And so I don't believe this time will be any different. Even though the components seem a little bit, you know, more difficult, I think we have challenges, you know, and but we'll come back from challenges. You know, sometimes it's a pebble in your shoe, sometimes it's a bump in the road, sometimes it's a mini crash. But, you know, the stock market has come back from every one of these, whether it's a war, whether it's a disease, whether it's a financial crisis. And so we will come back from this.
Where do you see the best opportunities at the moment? For a long time, you always heard the Magnificent Seven, then you saw some pullbacks, still good companies. In Europe, a lot of investors are investing in like weapon companies, you know, yes, and these kind of things. Yeah. So what trends are you seeing?
You know, right now, individual stocks are difficult to focus on, especially when you've got companies that are not able to give guidance going forward. At times of difficulty, we know that consumer staples, right, food and food and guns, I think, are really the best investment when we're in states. I mean, it's just reality, right? You know, we saw when there was a bump up in the tension between Ukraine and Russia that there was a huge surge in arms companies in Europe. We know that. So, you know, the bottom line is money is a funny thing. You know, it takes no prisoners, as we say. You know, there were people who made money during 9/11 because they bet against, you know, they bet with what had happened to us. And people may look at them and go, well, that was wrong. But look, people who are investors, people who trade the markets do that, you know, based on your information. That's the best thing you have. Where to put your money now? I'm always a firm proponent of the S&P 500. It gives you a nice global, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm disclaimer, I can't recommend what you should do. But I think, you know, I'm hoping that you know, the grandness and the exposure and the footprint of the S&P 500 will, you know, covers enough things within this market. It gives you some exposure to tech. It gives you exposure to energy and consumer staples. And, you know, and even at times of difficulty, there are stocks that are embedded in the S&P that will rally, you know, and it's easier than going into one stock at a time. Unless you're a major long-term investor, then you can pick different stocks that will benefit. But I would think net, you know, that was what was so disappointing of Ken Griffin's comment, you know, because at the end of the day, even though companies have struggled and had challenges, that Buy America idea has always been something that the world looked up to, right? We are the greatest country in the world. And right now, people are not particularly feeling that. And I'm sure people around the world, you guys as well, are looking to us going like, you know, how did you ever elect this person? And why is he a bully? And why is he doing this to the markets? And you know, it's not benefiting you as well as it's not benefiting us. And, you know, my hope and my gut is he's not a bad guy. You know, that he has an agenda. I don't know what the agenda is, and I'm trying to hopeful and be and manifest good things, and so that's the best I got.
Other question. You told us when you started here at 4 years old,
yes.
You have pen and papers, and then all the computers come in, and so, and now we have artificial intelligence.
Right.
Do you think it will have a huge impact on trading and investment in the next years?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know what? I don't think so. I mean, I'm a big fan of AI. I wasn't in the beginning because I didn't really understand it. I think it's going to benefit our lives in so many different ways. Surely from a medical perspective, I've been part of a couple of companies and I've seen, you know, that from a medical perspective, diagnostically and whatnot, it's going to be amazing and it's going to help us, you know, in the world of so many different things. And so I'm not fearful of it as I was at one point. Is it going to take a look? It may be beneficial. Look, the AI is still... It's a fascinating thing. The more it knows, the more it knows, the more it grows and it learns, you know, and so I don't think it will ever replace human beings, surely not here on the floor of the exchange, you know, maybe to find a robotic advisor, you know, AI may work a little bit, but, you know, once again, the market is very temperamental, right? And I don't know whether AI will ever replace us. It surely will. It will be helpful, you know, as a complement to what we're doing, because think about it. If I want to invest in a company, you know, if I was able to know everything about the sector that I'm in and every possibility and every trajectory that a company like this has ever done before, right, and all the possibilities of the pluses and the minuses, which I can all get from AI, you know, and I've never even used ChatGPT. I spent the weekend, I was at a wedding, and these young people were at the meeting explaining to me what it can do, and I was blown away that it can even speak in my voice. I asked it to, like, write a forward of a book, and, you know, written by me, and it did it in 5 minutes, you know, in 5 seconds, really. So, you know, I think it could probably complement a lot of things within the industry. I think there's nothing to, you know, money is a very temperamental thing. It's emotional. And so I don't think it will ever replace, you know, a financial advisor or a trader or an investor, but I think it could probably, definitely complement it.
Thank you.
So we see the floor behind us, the most important trading floor of the world. Do you think anything will change here, maybe because of AI or because of other things?
I don't think so. I think they've made a huge investment into this. As I said, I think the human element is all more relevant. The more volatile the markets get and the more, you know, the more crazy the world is, I think that, you know, I'm seeing a huge surge in the world's attention on the markets, on investing, on trading, you know, and then the human element. You know, I've never been under more demand as somebody who's like the voice of this place, and, you know, and somebody who's a proponent of inspiring young people to get involved in the market. So, you know, I don't think this place will ever be replaced, you know, and...
And you will live forever here on the floor.
And I will live forever. Yes, I will. And you know,
you're still young.
I'm still young. I'm getting younger. You know, I'm on this new. You know, I had this COVID for a long time, and I was in a neck brace for 4 years. And I've recently, there's a new protocol here in the States, maybe in Europe as well, about anti-aging drugs. And so ever since October of last year, I've been on this anti-aging drugs, which has made me younger and stronger and 10 times more energy, and it's like Benjamin Button. Yes, I'm getting better looking by the day. And, you know, what it does is it arrests your aging process. And in fact, if you stay with it, you can actually get back years that you've lost. So another couple of years, I'll be 40 years old again, and it'll be good.
Perfect.
Peter, thank you so much.
Always
all the best
pleasure.
For you. Thank
my
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you,
Peter.
Happy trading.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.